This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you at an altitude from an altitude of 5,280 feet. Coming up December 31st, New Year's. Before then, we're grateful to have on this Mile High Podcast none other than Dr. Dan Sullivan, who we are excited to have at Mile High in 2020. So when you're celebrating New Year's, make sure you put on your list for New Year's to be at Mile High August 20th to 23rd. Dr. Dan Sullivan is one of my heroes in chiropractic that I really appreciate what he does and what he represents. He's a chiropractor, a speaker, an author, a mentor. He loves helping people with increase their certainty and focus on what the chiropractic is supposed to be focused on. He's expanded his world into the world of research and education and consulting. One point having the largest practice in Nebraska, and now he resides in Atlanta. We are so thrilled to have him on the podcast, as well as to rise up to the Mile High stage. Dr. Dan Sullivan, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, brother, it's an honor to be here. Anytime, like you said, we need to do this more often. I'm honored to share some insight. And bottom line is, you need to get to Mile High. I'll be there in August. I don't have a ton going on next year in terms of I've really limited my speaking schedule. So when you gave this an opportunity, I jumped at the bit. So I'm going to be bringing some very strong, powerful new content that is going to help move the needle.
And you always bring solid content. That's one of the things I so enjoy about you. And if you want to check out Dr. Dan, I'll just say it now so you can, so you have this, go to thechiropracticadvocate.com. Now, that being said, Dan, how did you find yourself into the world of chiropractic in the first place and becoming such a great chiropractic advocate?
Well, you know, it's just that, I'll keep it brief because I always like to hear your story. I know we've gone back and forth. I like to hear everybody else's story. It's just interesting to look back at our journey, right? I'll tell you the bottom line. The bottom line is I come from a big family. I've got seven brothers and sisters. My mom's been a nurse for 35 years. My oldest brothers are medical doctors. My other sister's an occupational therapist. So I grew up in the medical world and I was destined to really go after the ones I looked up to, which were my brothers, to do that and to get in the medical world. My path changed. Had kind of the story of injured in sports, went to a chiropractor, and I didn't look back. And so I thought chiropractic was all about helping people get back on the athletic field that were in back pain, because that's what happened for me. Lo and behold, I go to Northwestern of all places. I went to school in the Twin Cities, Northwestern. Got introduced to a couple older trimester students that were in the Gonstead Club. They said, go to this, go listen to this, go read this. And it happened to be a green book. It happened to be a guy named Dave Majors, and then a Gonstead seminar where I heard Fred Barge, and then I heard Reggie Gold, and then it just was there. And I couldn't help myself but go down a path of truth. And so I tell you this, why it's relevant to you as a listener is that I had to make a decision. You know, early on in my journey, I had to make a decision. What sounded right and it sounded legit, and I would hear these doctors and I would look for things that were wrong with them, but I couldn't find something that was wrong with the message, because my schooling and what I was brought up to be would say, this is the box you need to play in. And I had to immediately say, if I'm going to go down this path, I'm an outcast. And I'm also within my family. If I'm going to go down this path, I'm an outcast. So I couldn't fight this urge of truth, and I just kept seeking it. So for me, what I've always carried this burden on is, if I'm going to go down this path, I've got this thing of, I've got to prove it. I've got to prove it to myself, my brothers, my family, my school, that this thing is right. And so that's what drove me into the science of chiropractic, but it's been an underpinning of philosophy that drives me still to this day. And so that's a little bit about my journey.
I love it. I love it. One of the things that I appreciate about you that I want the audience to connect to that I think will help them, because we have students, chiropractic doctors, all full range that listen to this and want to impact more lives. One of the keys I feel, and I know you live this, is discipline. And I think that's in any business, but really, especially as a chiropractor, right? You know I was up early doing sprints before this podcast. I know you have a real significant level of discipline in your life. What are some keys to that?
Yeah, it's discipline is huge, because I would say let's make it sense for a chiropractor, right? I don't know, a guy named Dean Stilley, who you know well too, as he said this one time, I don't know how you can be weak and be a chiropractor. I don't know how you could be weak and do this, because you get beat up every day. And so most people say, well, it's not for me then, or I just get sick of this healthcare thing, or I get sick of this guy. I always kind of feel like I'm battling uphill. And it's, listen, like, that's life. Battling uphill is life, but where you win is when you discipline yourself. And so for me, discipline is all about accountability. Holding yourself accountable to, like, why do I go to the gym at 5:30 every morning? Because Nick, you know, I put a guy named Nick who I meet there, you know, four times a week. And I hold myself accountable, right? And then I hold myself accountable to, you know, the way I look and the way I want to, you know, be and the way and certain things in terms of nutrition, that sort of thing. Why does it matter to me? It's because that it's how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so discipline is so key. That's how you're actually going to, you know, I've been thinking about and talking about and studying about identity. Why do some chiropractors go into a room, they say one thing, and they get amazing results, and another chiropractor goes in there with say the exact same thing and they get horrible results? They don't get any results, and they blame it the script, they blame their towel, they blame their, right? And the bottom line is a couple things. One is, what do you feel like you deserve based on the work that you've put in, the value that you understand in your product or service, and then the certainty and confidence you have in your communication? So this is all the stuff that I talk about on a weekly basis, daily basis, monthly basis. And I this is, again, one of my main themes coming into this year is going to be why it's a great time to be a chiropractor. Like, it's never been a better time to be a chiropractor. Some people say, well, you haven't seen in my state, you haven't seen my, you know, insurance in our world. And despite that, right, I will show you why it's never been a better time. Now, at the end of it, you're going to be able to choose on your own, because what matters to you is not what matters to me, right? You know, Henry Ford said, well, you think you're right or you think you're wrong, you're right. Right? So whether you think that it's a great time or you think it's a worse time, listen, your results are going to follow. I'm going to show you why. And next week, it's going to be a better time. And a month from now, it's going to be a better time. I'm going to show you why, with evidence, why it's a great time to be a chiropractor. What we have that's so unique, why the people need that more than ever, and why they're actually seeking it. They just don't know it's us they're seeking it from. So sorry to go off on a tangent. I get fired up.
I love it. Keep going. I'll say this. You said one of the words that I feel is so important, which is accountability. You know, And I don't know if you know this about me, I'm a big outcome assessment person. Like, in practice, you have to make sure you're doing re-exam and outcome assessments, that you're delivering what you're saying you're delivering, regardless of what approach you're using. Like, make sure you're actually delivering what you're delivering to the practice member. What a part, you know, does accountability have to do with success in your practice?
Oh, again, I'm so glad you just went down that road. I've been kind of beating that drum lately, and you said it very eloquently, and I don't know that everybody heard that. If you didn't hear that, and I'm sure you've talked about this in other podcasts, your ability to understand objective findings, evaluate for them, your confidence in them, and your ability to communicate those to the patient practice member is going to be what I would call the success of your practice. Because if you don't have objective findings, right, then you don't, then left to your own devices, the only thing you have to go on is pain. And so I've asked let me do this, Danny. So I've asked a lot of chiropractors, said, if somebody was under chiropractic care for 2 years and they had the exact same pain that they came in with, would that have been valuable? And I've had nobody say no. Everybody understands that chiropractic care is valuable regardless of whether the symptoms go away. So if that's true, and we believe that, and you believe that, right? We all believe that, then we have to have an ability to communicate the effectiveness of our care that we know our philosophy speaks of removing interference, the expression, right, through the nervous system. So therefore, to your point, we have to actually have objective findings, which goes back to your main question, is how do we hold ourselves and our patients accountable if we don't have these objective, right, objective. It's not subjective, it's objective, things that we can measure, right? A heart doctor, you come into the heart doctor, again, you know, not to, you know, for, with your case, which you could relate so well, a heart and a cardiologist, at the point that drives somebody in to see the cardiologist, they may have the chest pain, they may have the pressure on the chest, the shortness of breath. But at the point that they were able to get him in there and now start to evaluate objective findings, the subjective findings are so minimal in terms of their importance to the cardiologist. They don't necessarily care because now they have a picture of what's really going on, right? We know that so many people can have problems again or no symptoms and major problems. That's what, see, so heading into the future of chiropractic, we have to get a grip on this. And that is, again, to your point, whatever technique you do. And so if this is a big wheelbarrow takeaway. If you don't have great objective findings, you're not confident in your objective findings, and you're not communicating them effectively and then examining them so that you can actually show progress in them, you are missing. This is probably the key to your practice growth of the next year, is going to be really, really dialing in your objective findings. So great point. Hope I nailed that as far as the accountability. Yeah. The accountability piece is
perfect. That's a huge point, and I can tell the success of a practice by, you know, what kind of outcome assessments they use, if they use them or at all or not. And, you know, I'll tell you my experience, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but it's such a big point. Like, I was the, when I, people know about my medical situation I had, or at least on the surface they know. When I went into the hospital, I was the typical chiropractor as a patient, which means I was a bad patient, you know? and when they said, you have to do this, and you have to do this for your heart, I said, you're crazy, I'm out of here, I'm going to go heal this on my own, right? Like any most chiropractors might. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but when they showed me the pictures, yeah. I said, oh, okay, so when are we doing the surgery? You know, it was like, I saw what was there. And until I had the visual impact of what it was, I said, it didn't mean much as much to me, no matter how bad I felt, you know? So you have to have some kind of outcome assessment, you know, if you're going to have an increased impact on people.
Now, so let me just, before you get to this, because if we're delivering value bombs here, which I want to really help practice move the needle, what you just said, and I'm going to put this into more of a scientific, even a research-backed statement, what you just said, so one of the things that we know, and this is one of the things I've been so on lately, is how do we better and more effectively communicate our message? Well, what we understand now in science actually is our primal brain, which is kind of the, you know, they always call some people the reptile brain, this brain that's making these autonomic decisions, and but we now know that's the main decision maker. The rational brain, the cortex, is actually just an influencer of that decision. It's not the prime decision maker. Point is that our job then as a chiropractor, if you're trying to sell, persuade, influence anybody on anything, you've got to reach the primal brain. Now, why that matters of what you just said is the optic nerve. The optic nerve vision is they actually call it, it has its own category, right? It's got half of the neurons in the brain are attributed to vision, because the vision has such an impact. It's a superior, it actually, every other sense is minimized once the vision is engaged. And it's part of a protective mechanism. Now, why that matters, what you just said is, if you're not only have objective findings, if you're not showing, if you're not using images, you're losing out on the ability, and not only just at the beginning, but through progress of care, you're losing out on the ability to convert somebody to care, for them to see the value, for them to follow through, for them to pay for your care and refer others. It's all about, so, and it goes in 13 milliseconds, it goes to the primal brain, which is the decision maker, the optic nerve, 13 milliseconds compared to voice, auditory takes 500 milliseconds. It's 40 times faster. So some big tips there from a practice standpoint, start using more images and showing rather than telling.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. And just doing that, regardless of what type of images, and I have preferences, but I don't want to get into that. I just want you to do it and have some kind of outcome. And you'll see an impact on your practice. And I think it also contributes to another area, which is certainty and your growth of your clinical skills. Now, I know certainty is big for you. What are some keys that you feel are important for chiropractors to gain their certainty?
Oh man, I spend a lot of time even teaching students this, teaching docs this, and that is, you have to have an understanding of what it is that you're delivering. I mean, there's so many books and research done and articles written on how the brain works. Is you set the tone. So patient comes in, you set the tone. If you show them examples of somebody that got in and out of back pain, guess what? You're going to have a back pain practice. If you show somebody examples in your practice that of people that have come in and, man, they're getting allergies and asthmas and fertility and breathing issues and immune issues, and you start to show these real things that happen on a regular basis in your office, if you choose to show those, guess what? You're going to fill your practice with AP. It's because the brain is wired to be drawn into, and if you have trouble communicating value, people paying for your care, chances are you've gone the lower, you know, they're comparing you to a massage. Should I get a massage or should I get a back crack? That's what they're thinking in their mind, right? Versus, hey, a care plan based on objective findings that what we do here is this, this is what we look for, this is what we see, this is where you're at. And these are the results of other people using stories and testimonies to show other people that, you know, if anything, you know, compare, there's an anchoring principle, what you anchor them to. You know, Bill here, you know, prevented a $45,000 surgery, or Mary here had, you know, was using $60,000. You had a gal, Jen, you know, always use her story because she spent $80,000. She had two adopted kids, 10 years trying to get pregnant, $80,000. And then within 3 months, she's pregnant, you know, under chiropractic care. So again, to me, chiropractic care is hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of care, but I'm not just basing that on just some randomness. These are real people through our lives that have actually spent the money. So that's piece. The other piece of certainty, and again, just speaking from this, is you have to understand the value of chiropractic. What is the value of chiropractic? What does an adjustment do? Does it change on and off function, or does it not? That's a scientific question. Does your adjustment change autonomic function? I am on the huge, you know, when I'm on the road speaking, one thing that I constantly talk about is chiropractic's not great just because chiropractic's great. Chiropractic's great is because it honors the internal intelligence. And the other thing is, it's because scientifically, anatomy and physiology says that the spine is has an intimate relationship with the central nervous system. That's not a chiropractic thing, right? That's not unique to chiropractic. The spine's intimate relationship with the central nervous system is not unique to chiropractic. Chiropractic is a vehicle that addresses that anatomy and physiology like nobody else does, and acknowledges a certain set of principles based on a philosophy that it's not just the sum of its parts, and we're not just a nervous system. So all of that goes into saying, and you see where we beat this up. You spend so many hours of this, and you ask yourself all the tough questions. So a patient asks you this, you're thinking, is that all you got? You know, I'm a ninja at answering those questions because I've asked myself all of them times 10. And so a lot of you haven't asked yourself enough questions to be able to get your own answers and your own confidence. And so I'll kind of on this topic, I'll close with this piece, which is, remember this, 7% of your communication is words. 7% is your words. So you're not going to rationalize people into it, right? So you have to recognize what communication is, and then how do you stack the deck in your favor so you can help people make that decision.
So true. So true. And I too think it's a great time to be a chiropractor. There's so many things going for us that weren't available 10, 20, 30 years, and for you to have more impact. One of the things that relative to this time that disturbed me, shifting gears, and I know also disturbs you, is some of the political climate in chiropractic, some of the things we see. What are some of the things that you feel we need to do to help shift the current landscape of chiropractic, the individual chiropractors who could, you know, politically and in our education?
Yeah, here's my way of saying it pretty direct. I'm not, you know, I don't like to sugarcoat anything. I have seen that the reason why we would be pulled away down a path, or someone to be a major proponent of taking us out of the lane of what we know to be chiropractic, right? And so it's like we start to add in, you know, drugs, or add in even the conversation of that, or you add in, you know, the you know, all these ancillary things. What happens is that's a result of somebody not having the certainty and confidence and the value in what we do. So to me, I always look at, you know, cause, right? What's the cause? Why would somebody, it's one of two things. One is not having the value, or two, truly being that your major goal or your major initiative is that you want significance. And you think that that significance is going to come by a different profession or industry of saying that you're good or okay, right? And so one of those two things, again, it's I need my significance by somebody else and another industry saying you're accepted, or number two, not understanding the deep value. Because let's just look at another business. It's like, you know, I can't even think of one right now, but like Uber is never going to get into, you know, cable TV or even like online something. Like, they see the value in what they do. They don't have to add a bunch of things. They don't need to be accepted because they are that. They've decided. And I just think about, as our industry, think about 124 years that we've been doing this, we as this, right? And have fought the obstacles and been against the backs against the wall and have come through it. Why? Not because anything other than our results. And our results based on the principles, based on anatomy and physiology, based on the science that backs us up. So I'm a big proponent of being able to, so I see, you know, fighting for that is important and making sure that we're also, again, anytime I'm interacting with somebody, maybe on a different camp or a different perspective, I'm always trying to get the bottom line. And I know the bottom line is they're either seeking significance from somebody outside else, or I, like, for instance, I had a conversation with, you know, I won't name him, but I had with the president of a university or a chiropractic college. And, his perspective was, I think we should just get in with the, like, if we just can establish ourselves as the pain people for back pain, particularly as it relates to this opioid epidemic, then we will have, like, then we'll arrive. We'll have arrived there. And I said, Doc, I respectfully disagree with you. I disagree with you because what you're saying is if we can just get our foot in there, then what happens is, then it's kind of like, then we'll backdoor them on all the other benefits, right? And I said, so, but to me, here's the other. So let's just say it happens the way you would want it to happen. And all of a sudden, we become the go-to for the back pain instead of the opioids. Let's just say that happens. Let's say like as great as you could have ever imagined, times 10, like a dream come true for what you would call, right? I say, so then what does chiropractic become? What gets taught in schools? What does it become? Because it follows the needs. And then I said, then all of what we know to be true in chiropractic, and this is a president that has had some pretty significant familial changes in things outside of musculoskeletal pain, and the reason why he arguably is doing any of it. And so I said, do you see how we would lose all that? And I said, you may not have the perspective because it's so inherent in you, but I'm telling you, we're a couple, I would say a couple decades, if not, we're already getting there, where students have no perspective. They've not even heard of the non-musculoskeletal benefits of chiropractic because of the, so I said, it would even be more there. And then we would lose the uniqueness. He goes, I just never thought about that. Or I don't think that would happen. I just said, that's why we can't lose it. Right. So point is, I think that so many people making short-term decisions, right, or thinking that short-term benefit and not seeing a long picture. And the reason why we've got 124 years. So guys like you or I feel like always have to kind of bring us back to, this is what it is. This is where we're going. We have to stick to our guns.
Yeah, so true. And would you say that's the biggest challenge in chiropractic, or is there something else that you would say is the biggest challenge in chiropractic?
Well, I think it goes back to that number. The one of the reasons I said that the biggest challenge is chiropractors not being exposed to the full gamut of truth. And I would say this, and here I've used this. It hit me probably 5 years ago. I thought about this because I was speaking in a lot of schools at the time. I said, here's what's happening. Is that if you got into chiropractic, well, I'll ask you, Danny, let me think about in 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, what was the biggest reason people got into chiropractic as chiropractors?
There was a life change.
Yeah.
Most people, I mean, it was for me. For most people at that time, they had a life-changing experience as a patient.
As a patient, or they watched a loved one, literally, you know, and I say it kind of in, you know, a little bit sarcastically, but it is true to some degree. It's like you watch a loved one go in, get adjusted, and cough up a tumor.
Watch the chiropractic in the 20s expand. If it, that's why chiropractor was born, you know, it's a profession. It was people.
Exactly. So follow me on this. So then along came the 80s. We kind of got past the Wilkes thing in the 90s and then 2000s. I've taken a poll, and I've taught in chiropractic college in a philosophy course. And we take a poll every quarter, and like university, right? So the poll was, how many of you been adjusted prior to coming here? And it always goes up. And there's it's roughly 25% of people that start chiropractic care never been adjusted. Now, that's a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing is, you heard about chiropractic and you thought that it was a great profession, right? And so you've got into it without even ever experienced it. The curse is that you have no perspective of what it is, what it's capable of, what it's come from. And so now you're going to sit through 3, 4, 5 years of schooling. You're going to depend upon this school to walk you through. And now we live in a day and age where, we like it or not, science is the language of healthcare, whether we like it or not. And now we're going to base on, right, whether or not does chiropractic have the science and the research to back up the claims for 124 years. And so that's one of the things that I've always, like, if you ask me, why are you, like, when I started putting out content, this is the thing that drove me crazy. Like, I'm saying you cannot justify chiropractic being only a musculoskeletal benefit on the stakes that it's unscientific to say it any other way. And so, but unfortunately that's what's happening in a lot of schools because they're not even being exposed. So you, if you walked in and you, mom, you know, you didn't, you were going to die of diabetes and then you started getting adjusted and you didn't die of diabetes. You don't need a professor to tell you the value of chiropractic. You don't need a neuroscience degree and or research to back up the validity of chiropractic and its effectiveness, right? So that becomes, to me, one of the biggest challenges is within our schools and within our profession to be able to teach these young people how to actually see chiropractic for what it is and being exposed to what we know to be true.
Yeah, so true. And it's that not enough chiropractors have had a chiropractic experience, you know, even in practice sometimes. So with that, what are you working on right now?
Well, one of the things I'm working on right now, and I'm so glad you mentioned two of them, objective findings and using images, using visuals. Listen, I've been, you know, kind of, I'll call myself old in this. I've been, you know, practicing and been into the kind of the trenches of chiropractic for 15 years. And I've coached and mentored and consulted a lot of chiropractors, taught in schools, been around what I feel a little bit around the block in terms of what's out there. And I've realized even as much as benefit or, you know, understanding we have right now, one of the things that really drives me right now is to figure out how do we better take this message so that people can understand it, adopt it into their lives and actually utilize chiropractic you and I do. And it's not better words. Some people, and again, I've been guilty of it. We think that if we can just show a patient a little more research, if I can get, I get emails, messages, texts every single month, somebody saying, I'm going in to teach, you know, this medical group or this neuroscience group or that, and they want to know why, how to explain it. I said, listen, keep it simple. Keep it simple. We think that they know so much, but they don't. And so we also think that a patient needs to understand the neuroscience, the research and all this. They don't. There's a reason why we get results with communication, why some docs do and some don't. It is an inherent belief in certainty, right? Because it's not about better words. It's not about better research. It's about truly being able to reach the decision-making part of the brain. So that's one of the things I'm really, I'm so you nailed a couple of them. One is images and optic nerve. Another one is using loss aversion. We're 2.3 times more likely to do something to avoid a loss than to seek a gain. So for instance, another tip here, in your report of findings, if you don't have a point where you explain to them or maybe ask the question, Mary, Bob, Steve, Mark, what's going to happen if you don't do something for this? Because you've got your objective finding and making sure they conceive and understand and receive that so they can you know, tell you, you can't make a lateral shift. It's not going to, you're going to come back a year from now, 2 years, 5 years from now, this is going to be better or for the, it's gravity acts upon us, right? Life acts upon us, stress acts upon us. So the point is getting them to understand how and why chiropractic is necessary. And so helping chiropractors better understand it. So like for me, helping me understand it, even people that, you know, you walk in a room, you're like, I don't, you know, you hear somebody speak, I don't know everything they said, but for some reason I trust them, right? Or the other person's like, I don't know, they said everything that sounded right, but for some reason I don't trust them, or some reason I don't. And it becomes this deep conviction and this care and this unattached to outcomes and using loss aversion, these things that we now know in persuasion science and neuroscience. So I'm really fired up about that right now because I want to every little thing, because we have such a huge message, every little thing to help a chiropractor get the best benefit in terms of building their practice, have more success is what I'm all about.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to have you bring that message to the Mile High State. It's going to be phenomenal, and I'm grateful to have you rise up to the stage. Thank you for being on the podcast. Is there any final thing you'd like to share with people?
No, I would just say this, Danny. I just appreciate you. I see you. We don't talk enough. Now we always see people, you know, we're always kind of flying by each other and wherever we're at. But I just really appreciate you, brother. And I appreciate your family. And I appreciate you all that you've done for chiropractic, continue to do for chiropractic, your lineage of everything you've done in your family. I just, I when I think about standing on the shoulders of giants, I think of you and everything that you've come from, and you will go down in history as that, leaving this place a better place and leaving our profession a better place. So I just feel like you probably say, I'm just getting started. I do believe you're just getting started. God has a lot to do with you, but I really just look up to you and appreciate all you do.
Hey, you know, we're made for more. So, thank you so much for saying that. And, you know, we've got a big job ahead of us, right? We've got a lot of lives change, a lot of spines, lives and minds to change. And I am, again, so thrilled to have you at Mile High, August 20th to 23rd. If people are watching this or listening to this in whatever way they're downloading, if you have not grabbed your seats, grab them before New Year's. Rates rise then, and who wants to invest more, invest less to get more instead? And register at www.milehighchiroregistration.com. And this podcast, I know, is going to be one of people's favorites. I'm so psyched about it. So we will see you all in the new year on Higher Ground, August 20th to 23rd. Thank you, Dr. Dan, for just lighting up chiropractic with your gifts.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you, man. We'll see you all in Denver in August.